blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear and see thy face. Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Within thy
disquiet and distress. On God rely. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah chapter 53, but first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and the help of the Lord. We hope to remember in prayer and Mr. Hank Arnold Dusen, who received surgery in this past week. Also Chad Outshorn, who has done well again under his procedure. Mr. John Van Sluis, who is having some difficulties after his surgery in recovering. Also, all those that mourn. Let us try to pray. Almighty and eternal God, thou who dwellest in the heavens, thou who art all-knowing, thou who art omniscient and also omnipresent, that is, everywhere dwelling with thy Godhead, with thy majesty, with thy grace, with thy Spirit. Oh, then thou art also present in the midst of us with that same Spirit. Oh, may it be for a blessing on this thy holy day. Oh, we may be together in this morning in thy house of prayer. Oh, may that be for some yet a wonder in this morning hour, that we may gather together under the means of grace that are so undeserved by us. Oh, then it is necessary, if we shall feel something of that wonder, that we will feel something of our own iniquity and what we are over against such a good-doing God, such a long-suffering God as thou art, to bestow upon us so many blessings, day by day and week by week. And we, with our backs turned to thee, all that we say to thee every moment of our life, that we will have none of thee, and that we have no desire for the knowledge of thy ways. Lord, when it is so, and when it has never been different in our life, and when we begin in this day a week of preparation for thy holy supper, which is to be administered, if thou wilt give it, in the week to come. Oh, then may it be that in our heart in this morning may enter what was never there. Oh, that there may be a beginning, a new desire, a new life. Lord, for this we ask thee, because thou hast all the power that is in heaven and in the earth, and we can but try to bring forth the word of God in all our shortcomings and all our foolishness of preaching. But Lord, it depends upon thy Holy Spirit. And therefore, for this we beseech thee in this morning hour, that thou would remember us, even when we do not deserve it, even when our hearts are so inclined to this world and to everything that is carnal, and that they are cleaving to all the things that are here below. Oh, that thou would make it different, when thou alone can do it. Oh, art thou not the Alpha, Lord? Art thou not the beginning? Oh, do show thyself forth then in this day, and wilt thou come with thy Spirit to us and unto our dear children, and work with thy might and with power to stretch forth thy mighty arm, and to raise sinners from the grave, to raise the dead unto that new life, a spiritual life, a life that will begin to hunger and to thirst for thee, who art the true and the only God. O Lord, the way of man is not in himself. Oh, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. No, the way of men, Lord, that is in thee. Thou art the one who must give everything from thy own side. We beseech thee also for those that may deceive themselves. Lord, if that is true of any one of us, for our hearts are deceitful above all things, and they are desperately wicked. Oh, when that is true, and when we go over this world cleaving to something that is too short for eternity, or when we go with an expectation also to come unto thy holy supper as those that would take the bread that belongeth unto the children. But when we walk in the way of self-deceit, and we do not realize it because of our own wretchedness, oh, then we beseech thee, Lord, that thou may open our eyes, and that thou may give for the first time that uprightness of spirit that is a part of that new life, and that thou may draw to thyself, oh, draw out of all the love of the world and of all the cleaving to the flesh, all the desires for the things that are here below, that we might learn to live as pilgrims and as strangers upon this earth, seeking a city that has foundations. Oh, remember thy own children in all the standings of that life of thee that thou hast planted in the heart of thine own. Oh, then there is not one, not one of that people that ought to be banished from partaking of thy holy supper. And then, Lord, thou knowest their hearts. Then in themselves they can have so many questions, because it is a way that is through the sea, and that is through the path of the mighty waters wherein thou dost lead thy people. It is a mysterious way. It is a way which is so against our flesh. And they do not understand so often. Oh, then they need light. They need light from above to show that pathway that they are walking upon. Lord, then we need light too, in this morning to lay it open as thou wilt have us to do, and that we may be given to take forth the precious from the vial. Oh, that out of thy word may be excluded all those who are not thine own, and that there may be included even the smallest ones who are thy own remnant, the poor of thy flock, that so stand in need of that strengthening, of that nourishing, of that faith that thou hast planted. O Lord, could it please thee then to remember us this day and give us opening in thy word? Wilt thou flow forth with thy spirit, that there may be a testimony in the heart of those that know that life, that it is thy work, and that thou would come back upon thy own doings, the life of thy dear children? Lord, remember all that have special needs, that have needs of the body. Remember him that received surgery in the days gone by, and that we see maybe in our midst in this morning already. Lord, wilt thou give healing for the body, strength for the body, and may it be a blessing in thy house in this morning, according to the desire of his heart. And Lord, remember him that is having difficulties in recovery, that must receive treatments day by day. Oh, that thou would heal him, Lord, and that thou would make it well when man is trying to use all of his wisdom. Wilt thou strengthen him, and wilt thou bless him for time and for eternity? Remember the child. Oh, we may acknowledge thee that thou hast made it well with him once again in all his needs. Oh, give humble hearts to the family, and may it be for him also that new heart. Lord, be with those that mourn, and thou knowest those that have brought to the grave. A beloved mother, grandmother, great-grandmother in the week that is gone by, oh, that thou may strengthen all that mourn and to do give comfort when man is not able. But Lord, oh, that thou may give a holy jealousy of that people who may depart out of this world in such a blessed way. Oh, may thou give us then a hastening for our life's sake, that we may be able not only to live in comfort, but that we may be enabled to die in peace. Oh, remember all the youth and the children this day, when we are to begin the week of examination, Lord, then so often it can be that they feel on the outside of it, and yet, oh, then they also are included, because thou dost often begin in the days of youth. Oh, give them then a ear to hear this morning, and may it be an heart to understand, and a holy jealousy of that portion of Jacob. Oh, that they might not be able to miss it anymore. Remember us all together then. Lord, keep us. Oh, keep us on every side. Strengthen us for our labors in mind and body. Oh, give us the unction of thy Holy Spirit in a rich and double measure. Be thou in our midst to sanctify thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 233, stanzas 1 through 4. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear. For I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul. For thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 233, stanzas 1 through 4.
throughout, so you're just going to play with it as you
congregation, in the coming week, the coming Sabbath day, with the Lord willing, then the Holy Supper of the Lord is to be administered in our midst. That is an institution of the Lord whereby He strengthens, whereby He feeds, whereby He nourishes His own church. And therefore, that is a supper that is not for the entire congregation, but it is for the true church of God. It is necessary in the first place that we be a member in good standing of the congregation. Why is this? Is that because, boys and girls, it is only those who are members of the church that can be converted, that can be God's children? No, that is not true. But there must be good order within that church of God. And then we may ask ourselves, when we have never become a member of the church, why we have not? And why that we continue to separate ourselves from the communion of the true church of God? Thus, that church membership that is necessary, that there may be order within that church of God. On the other hand, then it is not every confessing member of the church that may attend that Holy Supper of the Lord. And why not? Because the apostle writes, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. That means that they are not all God's children which are of the outward administration of that church of God. And it is for this reason that a week of preparation is necessary for each one of us. Why? That we may examine ourselves. When we read the form for the administration of that supper, then we read in a special way of two things. And that is, in the first place, that man will rightly examine himself. And in the second place, that holy supper of the Lord that is to be administered to a certain end. That means that it is to be partaken of for a certain purpose and directed to a certain end. That is, in remembrance of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to all this, then it is necessary also that there be no breach among us as a people. And why is that? Because this supper that is also a holy communion. And then we cannot expect to receive communion when there is a breach. That is, we cannot receive that which is a spiritual communion when there is a natural breach. Thus, congregation, in the week that is to come, when there is something that is between us and our neighbor, then it behooves us to, in this week, take this out of the way. And now, for the purpose of a self-examination, and also in the way of commemorating the Advent season, we wish in this morning to consider the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So far the words of our text. The report of the coming of the Messiah. First, who did not believe this report? And second, who did believe this report? The report of the coming of the Messiah. First, who did not believe this report? And second, who did believe this report? Who hath believed our report? Who is speaking? That is God's servant. That is the prophet Isaiah. And we read here that he is speaking a report. So what is he doing? He is preaching. And it is but a report that Isaiah must bring. That means that he is not saying something that is coming out of his own heart. No, but that he is bringing a report. That he is bringing something that is coming from somewhere else. That he is bringing a report, a message that is from heaven. And of what does this report consist? Well, Isaiah is a prophet, and he is speaking about things that are coming in the future. They are things that have been revealed to him. Of what is he speaking in this chapter? Then we can read that so clearly. Then he is speaking about the coming of the Messiah. He is speaking about the approaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaiah does not speak only for himself, because Isaiah is speaking also for all those servants that are coming after him. How may we know that? Well, when we go to the New Testament, then we can read how that this prophecy that is being applied, it is being applied by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is being applied by the apostles. And when the Lord Jesus has spoken about this prophecy, what has he said himself? Well, we read that of John, in the Gospel of John, but though he did so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Thus, he is quoting the words of the prophecy of Isaiah, and he is applying it to the time in which the Lord Jesus is living himself. And then we read also the Apostle Paul, that he writes to the Romans about all those that are truly sent to preach that gospel of peace. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Thus here we hear the words of Isaiah. And Isaiah is speaking about the future, but he is not speaking only for himself. But we read that he is speaking for the great prophet, and he is speaking for the other prophets, the apostles, which will be coming after him. That he is speaking for all of God's servants, even to the end of the world. And what does he say? He says, who hath believed our report? So what is he complaining about? Then he complains that so few have believed that message concerning that Messiah that was to come. And certainly, the fulfillment of this prophecy we can find in a special way in the time that the Lord Jesus was upon the earth. Because there we read that the Lord Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. So we find the fulfillment in the rejection of the Jews concerning this Messiah. Congregation, how is that in our own life? When we say that the Jews have rejected the Lord Jesus, how is that in your life? How is that in my life? Why did the Jews reject the Lord Jesus? We read that also here. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Tender plant. That is a very small, boys and girls, you know, that when a plant that will just start to grow, then you have, well, what we might call a little suckling. A very small plant that is so very, very tender. And what will happen to that plant if anything that is harsh will come upon it. That little plant that is so subject to so many dangers, if you will step upon it, then in one moment that tender little plant that is gone. And so when we see such a little plant that is coming up out of the earth, and a plant that maybe no one is noticing, that is so very, very low in its beginnings and so very, very tender and so subject to so many dangers, then we may have in our heart a question. Then we say, well, will that plant make it? Is that plant, well, we may not have so much hope that plant is going to come through everything that might come against it. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. Oh, how much hope is there in a root that is in a dry ground? When there is no moisture, well, then that root is only going to lay there, and we have no hope in any future for that root because it is so dry. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Oh, why was it now that the Jews have rejected the Messiah? Well, they simply did not expect the Messiah to come in such a way as he did. In the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, then he came in such a low and, from our point of view, in such an unpromising way. What were the Jews looking for? What was the promise to the Jews? That there was going to be coming a king. He was going to be the son of David. Oh, then they have expected a king that would come in all the splendor of this world. They had expected a king to come in royal pomp. They expected a king that was going to come and drive away the enemy, so that the Romans would not be able to stand before the earthly strength of that king. And how did the Lord Jesus come? Oh, then he came just as a little branch. He came so low that the Jews did not even recognize that this actually was their king. He came in that time that, well, the house of David, that was so low that the kingdom was not recognized, that everything was under the rule of those Romans. That supposed father that was a mere carpenter, and his mother, oh, that was a poor mother in Nazareth. Thus, who with only a natural mind would ever have expected anything out of this little child, out of these lowly circumstances? The congregation, not only did they not recognize the Lord Jesus when he came, they also, and that is even more, they also had no desire for such a Messiah. What does Isaiah say? He says, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The Jews were left without excuse. Because it is true that the divinity of Christ that was hidden behind the veil of his humanity, that he came and appeared to be a mere man, and yet that divinity shone through in his omniscience. It shone through when he spake like no other man spake. It shone through in all of his mighty miracles. Thus the Jews, they were without excuse. But what was now the greatest stumbling block for the Jews? That was the lowliness. That was the humility. That was the meanness according to all that is in this world. The Jews wanted to be respected by all the nations that were all about them. They wanted it to be as in the days of David and of Solomon, when all the nations around them, they were bringing their gifts. They wanted to be the courtiers in the palace of this earthly monarch. And they were embarrassed to have such a king as the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted nothing to do with him. And Pilate's mockery that stung them, when Pilate says, "Behold your king," then they said, "No, that we don't want to have any king in such a way. Then we will serve the Romans. Then we have no king but Caesar." No form. He did not look like a king. He had no outward splendor. He had no outward beauty. No comeliness. Nothing grand. Nothing majestic. Nothing appealing to our flesh. Nothing to uplift us in all of our natural and corrupt desires for honor and for glory in this life. And when they thought that they saw that splendor coming, then they cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And when they saw that he was not going to sit in such an earthly splendor, then they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Because their vain expectations were disappointed. Who hath believed our report? So Isaiah is speaking about the future coming of the King of Israel. And was a congregation all of them that did not believe and receive him? No. We see that in our second thought, who did believe that report? Certainly there were some that did believe it. Oh, they were among God's servants. They were also among the people of Israel. It is very true that they were few in comparison with the thousands of the Israelites, and yet that people did exist. Who were they? Listen to Isaiah. He says, "Who hath believed our report?" "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" What is that congregation? The arm of the Lord. Your arm, boys and girls. Your arm, that is a strong part of your body. That is that which you do mighty things with, not just your finger or your hand, but when you stretch out your arm, then you can lift, boys and girls, your father, then he can lift a great weight with that arm. So that arm of the Lord, that is speaking about the power and the might of the Lord. And that is a power and a might that is exerted. That is not just a power in God, no. But that is a power which is shown. That is a power which is being used. That is being experienced. The arm of the Lord. And how is it that the Lord is manifesting his strength? That is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the might of God that is being shown, the power of God that is being shown through the Lord Jesus Christ. In what way? The devil has deceived mankind. And the strength of that devil is so very, very great. The devil holds us in our natural state, in the state of death. Is that ever for us a burden? That the devil holds us in that state of death? That you say, I cannot convert myself. I cannot give myself one true desire. I cannot give myself one true longing. I cannot give myself one thing that is truly spiritual. The Lord has manifested his power over the devil in his only begotten Son. He has stretched out his mighty arm, that he may bruise that head of that serpent. And how is that? That is through the work of that mediator. It is by the work of that mediator that he would restore his children who had departed from him, who had left him in paradise, a great work. Because they have rebelled and they are going headlong, running away from the Lord. Thus a work more powerful than the creation, necessary to stop a man and to bring him again into the service of the true and the living God. The arm of the Lord. And what is now that strength? What is that arm of the Lord? That power of the Lord that he has shown in his Son? Oh, is that not in his active and in his passive obedience? Is it not in the fulfillment of the law? Is it not in the suffering of death and the coming out of that awful punishment? Is it not in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead? A power that the Jews, they could not see. They did not see. Why not? It was not a natural power, but it was spiritual. Spiritual. What do we look for, congregation? Are we looking for that which is natural? Or are we looking for that which is spiritual? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Revealed. What does that mean? To reveal something. That means that in the first place, it is hidden. It is covered. We cannot see it. It is a mystery. Oh, sometimes, boys and girls, then maybe your older brother or sister or your father and mother, they give to you a riddle. A riddle. And you cannot solve that riddle. And you think and you think and you search and you search, but you cannot see the answer to that riddle. Finally, you say, "Father, tell it me." Oh, then he reveals it. Then he says it. Then he opens it up. And then you say, "Oh, now I see it. Now I see it." And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Thus, to whom is the power of God? To whom is the might of God? To whom is the strength of God revealed? Opened up that they may see what that is. All that might and the power of God that is hidden from us by nature. We cannot see it. We cannot feel it. Why not? There is no room for it. There is no room for it. And why is there no room for it? Because, congregation, it is spiritual. It is spiritual. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Jews, they saw so much of the power of the Lord Jesus. Oh, they saw him perform so many miracles. They didn't see anything else. They saw what was natural. They did not see what was spiritual. Their eyes were blinded for that mystery. It was not open to them. It was not revealed to them. Even when the Lord Jesus was living directly in their midst, they were blinded by their own prejudice. And in his just judgment, the Lord left that people destitute of the solution to that mystery. Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And therefore they were never enabled to see that he was the only begotten of the Father. But now there were a few. There were a few to whom the might and the power of the Lord was revealed. It was opened up. They saw, they felt, they experienced that might and that power. Who were they? Congregation, in general, it was the lowest and it was the meanest of the people. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Then we don't speak about the outward revelation, no. Because the word of God that was preached to all the Jews and it was preached to all the Gentiles, it was preached to many, many people. Oh yes, we have the word of God revealed. But there were some to whom the Lord Jesus opened that he was that true Messiah. Paul speaks about the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, about opening the eyes of the understanding. And they saw past. They saw past the lowly state. They saw past that humble way in which the Lord Jesus came upon this earth. And that did not stand in their way. to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Oh, it was revealed to those who had room and place and need for the power and for the might and the strength of that arm of the Lord, need for that mediator, not an outward need, an inward need. Oh, then you see those lowly shepherds who were waiting, who were in the darkness. Oh, to them, that arm of the Lord was revealed. You see the wise men who were waiting upon the promise of the Lord and who were given to see something of His glory within the heavens. And they came and they bowed themselves before that humble child, that lowly poor child. It did not stand in their way. While Herod, he is clenching his fist at the birth of this child. Oh, to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? Oh, to one who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Then he may take him up in his arms. Then did he say, oh, that is just a lowly sprig? Oh, no. No, then he saw past the humility and he saw past the lowliness, and the Lord gave him to see who that this was. And then he may rejoice. And then he can die. Oh, when he may see something of that salvation of the Lord. Oh, congregation, to whom? To whom is that arm of the Lord revealed? Oh, do we need such a revelation of that arm, of that might in our own life? Let us sing. Psalter 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 188. congregation next week, the Lord willing, at the commemoration of the Holy Supper. About what does this Holy Supper go? It goes about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes about his dying. It goes about the giving, the breaking of his body, and the pouring out of the blood of Christ for his church. And if we will commemorate that supper in a right way, then it must be done to the right end. That means it must be done in remembrance of him. Congregation, in our natural state that we are born, this is impossible. And why is this impossible? Because we have nothing of him to remember. Nothing of that mystery was ever opened. Nothing of that mystery ever really became for us a need to be opened. We can have much knowledge of him in our mind. We can learn so much from our youth, but congregation, the power of that mighty arm of God. Oh, did we ever need that power? We read of the daughters of Jerusalem. They wept about Christ, but they did not need the arm of the Lord. Did you ever weep? Maybe. Maybe while we were singing. Maybe at a time when your emotions, they were lifted up with joy. Maybe in this or that time that you were cast down with sorrow. And yet, or we can have emotions, but we can be without a need for that power that the blood and the broken body of Christ is pointing unto. Judas performed many miracles in his life, but he never needed that power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, everything less than this, that is too short. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Oh, it is possible that we are influenced by the modern Christian or so-called Christian ideas of our day. It is possible that we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that we look for that which is an earthly splendor. We look actually for great things in this world through our religion. We want to be respected as Christians. We want to be honored as Christians in this world. We don't think it necessary to live so strictly according to that law of God. But we want to be those Christians who are, well, we want to be accepted and we want to make a difference in this world. Oh, we look for all the joy, we look for the happiness. Without the doubts and without the strifes. And actually, we are offended. We are offended by the poverty of that true church. We are offended by the darkness that they are often in. We are offended because, well, it takes that people so long to learn, No, we want to bring the church to the next level. We want to bring the church to a higher level. We want to bring the church to a level where they may rejoice here below. And we want to make the earth into a heaven. Oh, if these are our thoughts, oh, do not come. Do not come to that holy supper of the Lord. Then you are not one to whom that the Lord will reveal His mighty arm. And why will He not? Because you don't need it. Because you have enough in your own strength. You have enough of your own power. And because you speak much of the Lord Jesus, yes, but you have no need of the power of that blood of the Lord Jesus. You have faith when you want it. Why then do you need to be strengthened by the Holy Supper of the Lord? Neither do you need anything to be revealed to you, because you know it all. You have the Bible in your own hands. And you say, the whole revelation is before me. And you need the Lord to open nothing unto you. You are rich and increased with goods. You have need of nothing, and especially of that mighty arm of God. And when we come to that holy supper of the Lord, congregation, in such a way, then you may be sure that you eat and you drink damnation unto yourself. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Is that difficult? That is not difficult. That arm of the Lord that is revealed to those who have no strength in themselves. Oh, when He was here upon the earth, I will ask it to the boys and girls, and then you can already tell me who experienced the arm of the Lord. Who experienced the might? Who experienced how powerful that the Lord Jesus was? That was all those people you say that could not help themselves. It was the lepers. It was the blind ones. It was the lame ones. It was the deaf ones. It was the dumb ones. All those people that had no strength in themselves. And they had only one little hope. Oh, that they could say, Lord, help me, and stretch out Thy mighty arm. Congregation, the first point in the examination of ourselves, read it. We hope you read it in the form this week. In your own secret places, in the way of self-examination, what is now the first point? That is the knowledge of our misery. Do you know your misery? You say, I know it. How do you know it? Because you were told this? Or because the Lord has showed it to you? Can you tell, not to me and not to one another, but can you tell now what your sin is before the Lord? Or is your knowledge of your sin so general that you cannot even say what it is? Then you are not taught from above. Because the Lord is working by points in the life of His people to bring one, two, three, yes, everything. What did the Lord say to David? He said, "Thou art the man." And so the Lord is instructing His own church in that knowledge of their misery. And what becomes the greatest misery? Oh, that they cannot rid themselves of that sin. It is not only sin, it is the corruption. It is the corruption. It is the fountain. There is a corrupt heart. And now that people without strength, without strength to rid themselves of such a corrupt heart. Oh, is there a people that may know that? Is there a people that do mourn with Paul because they cannot do the things that they would? Oh, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Congregation, what is it about the Lord Jesus that is seen and that is revealed to that people that is so mighty? One of those things is that blessed obedience, the active obedience of Christ. Every one of the witnesses against Christ in the judgment was a false witness. It had to be. Because no true witness could bring one sin against Christ. What did the Lord Jesus say? Which of you convinceth me of sin? All the might and the power that is in that active obedience of Christ. Did the Lord ever show that to you? Does the Lord do that today? Yes. Oh, do you see that man upon that cross with the Lord Jesus? What became so mighty to him? That was a man. He says, "We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds." Do you know, congregation, what that man then deserved? Hell. Rightly so. To be cast forever and forever away. What did the Lord show to that man? What did he show to him concerning him? Not that was sitting upon the throne in his earthly glory, no. What did the Lord show to him? In that man who was hanging upon that cursed tree, the Lord showed to him, "This man hath done nothing amiss." And that active obedience of Christ, that man may see in that moment, that became so powerful that it was able to stand in his place, who deserved to be cast away forever and forever. The mighty arm of the Lord that was revealed to that thief upon the cross in the active obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that man may have hope to pray, "Lord, remember me." Oh, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
How precious, how comely did the Lord Jesus Christ in His active obedience become to that man in that moment. To whom? To whom? To those that have no power to pay their great debt. Responsible? Oh yes. Oh yes. But who can do nothing with that responsibility. That cannot fulfill that responsibility. That cannot bring a sacrifice to appease that wrath of God. Does the Lord do that also today? Yes. Oh, do you see that man? He is standing, not daring to look up unto heaven, smiting upon his breast. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And now what do we read? That man went down to his house justified. Justified. Oh, there was a power. There was a might that that man may perceive in the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was revealed to him. It was opened unto him. Oh, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It is the revealed congregation to those who cannot enter into those mysteries. Oh, that mystery of free and sovereign grace. Oh, you say, I cannot see it. No. No, then you need the Lord to open it unto you. You need the Lord to reveal it unto you. Oh, therefore the Lord is giving that Lord's Supper in the life of his children. To help and to strengthen that faith by renewal, because they don't have it in their own pockets. Or to show something of the freeness of that salvation. To show something of the power of that blood. Congregation, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Oh, that woman with the issue of blood, she believed. When? When? When she had spent all her living on other physicians and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Then she had but one hope. The Lord is bringing his people, congregation, to an end. Why? That he may work a wonder in their life. A wonder. And it is to those that he is revealing his arm. That he is giving to experience the power of that cleansing blood. And that is a people that have something to remember. And that may do it in remembrance of him. Does that mean that our sin that needs to be forgiven? Does it mean that we need to know in our consciousness the forgiveness of our sins? No. Oh, when Pilgrim entered into that wicked gate, then he received congregation and opening in that mediator. When? Oh, when he had died at the law, when he could not find that in any other way, when that city of morality was cut off in all his expectations, and then what did he experience? Goodwill. Goodwill. That is the goodwill of God toward men. Then it became Christmas. in the life of that man.
And yet,
the burden was still on his back. Thus, he did not receive in his consciousness in that moment the forgiveness of all his sins. And yet, that mighty arm of the Lord that was revealed to him in his life. Congregation, what do you think of that arm? What do you think of that mighty arm of the Lord? Is that necessary for you? Is that your only hope? Has that become your only expectation? Oh, then we say, then you are welcome at that holy supper of the Lord. He does not reveal himself to the strong and to the mighty, but to the weak and to the helpless ones. Oh, may the Lord make lepers, lepers that may come not with something, but that may come with nothing, that you might receive everything at the hand of him who has everything for his church. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in our poverty. O show to us who we are. Draw our hearts, Lord, that in all our wretchedness, that we may be given that to see who thou art in thine only begotten Son. Lord, forgive all that was amiss this morning, and bring thy word in our hearts with power. Give us desire to be together further in this day. Bring us safely home. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 164. 164, stanzas 1 through 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1 through 4 of Psalter 164.
Yeah.
Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.